Can you hear me now?
Can you hear me now? Pastor 3. Which one is me then?
Yeah.
Try again.
What's that?
Talk.
To say something.
Say something.
Say something.
Yeah.
Thank you. Say it again. Say it again.
Something.
Say testing.
Testing. Testing.
There we go.
Testing. Hello?
Hello?
Anybody there?
Yes.
Yeah, I can tell that that's going on. I think I mentioned this before. I've had on my computer screen when I turn the computer on, I have a forest scene, and the scene is that you're looking at a split in the road. Right? The road branches off into two different directions. I have it there because I want to be reminded every day, because I turn my computer on every day, I want to be reminded every day that my choices make a difference. What road I'm going to take. You know that famous poem by Robert Frost, "Two Roads Diverged in a Yellow Wood," and it goes on and it talks about him choosing a particular road. And he says during that time that once you go down a road and you start going through all the little twists and turns, it's hard to get back to where you could have gone the other way. And he says at the end of it, he repeats and says, two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. Our choices, even everyday little choices, the little things that we decide we're going to do, where we allow our minds to wander to, all those little choices make differences. And depending on the impact in our life, it's going to make a bigger and bigger impact with what's going to happen in our lives. This is also true about nations, and I'm going to go from personal to national, because I see that for Kathy and I, we're at a crossroads in our life. There's two roads, and we've made a decision about something. But we're also, in a national kind of way, we're at a crossroads as a nation. And I'm going to talk a little bit about all of that here today. In case anybody doesn't know, Kathy and I had put our house up for sale because it was a seller's market. And we thought, well, maybe we can do pretty good with it. And nothing happened for a while. And we thought, well, we'll just be in the house for the winter, and we'll just go from there. So I was getting very comfortable thinking about being in the house for this next winter coming up. And then Monday, a person came and looked at the house. The realtor brought this woman, and she looked at the house. And by Friday, we had signed a contract. So our house is under contract right now to sell. And all kinds of things go on in your mind, you know, that I didn't realize was there. And I don't want to leave the house. I'm very comfortable there. Everything, I know how everything is. I've gotten used to the area. Apply that to your life. Apply that to the comfortable areas. And I see that God brings us to crossroads in our life, and those are always for reasons. Maybe it's a consequence of other choices. Maybe it's because it's time now for a change in our life. And you know what? As much as any of us say that we just love change, I don't think we do. It's not comfortable. Going into new areas, going into a place that you've never been before, maybe needing to do things that you've never done before and you're unfamiliar, isn't that always a scary kind of thing to happen? I know it is for me. Something's going on there.
John's messing with it.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Wait,
no. Okay. But, so, Kathy and I are now looking at what's out in front of us. And we were very kind of up in the air, you know, we're going to sell, what are we going to do? You know, because we were just, it was just, hey, maybe we can make a decent amount of money, and we know eventually that our daughter wants us to move down to be with her down in southern Maine, and we went, well, is God doing something here? And then we thought, well, we don't want to leave the area quite yet. So we went looking for an apartment. We found an apartment just like that for a price that is going to allow us that even if when Libby has her apartment thing that she has on her property all ready for us, we can move down there, but we can still be up here too because we can afford keeping the apartment. I always have a place to come up to. I can teach at the college still. We're still going to be part of what's going on here for a number of more years.
Amen.
Maybe not. You know how everybody or I think about it, but the scariness of that is now changed because God, we gave it all over to God. Whatever you want, God, then this is what we want to do. If you want us to sell the house, we're going to sell the house. If you want us to move down right away to Maine, we'll move down right away. If you don't want us to do that, well, Lord, you're going to have to open up something else. And He opened up something else, and here it is, you know? And so the relying on Christ through all the different kinds of changes makes a big, big difference in the way that we make it through situations. We have a big thing with the election coming up, and all of us here, and maybe have different ideas about how you want to see it end up. That doesn't matter at this point what you're thinking, but you know. If there are differences of opinion on who we want to be president, somebody's going to be disappointed, right? Somebody's going to be. And I think it's important for us to realize, and it's been said, God is in control, right? God is in control. But I do want to say this. We play a part in this. We get a chance to vote. So we do have a part to play, all right? So I'll get into weaving in and around that. I'm not going to get on to anything controversial. I don't think I will. You know, what I like when I'm going down a road that especially if I'm unfamiliar with the road, is to have little signposts on the way. I remember the first time I hiked up Mount Madison, and I went out to Randolph, and I got on that. I went there on the trailhead there and started up, and I had no idea where to go. I was so glad for the little markers here and there. Right?
Yeah.
It's nice to have markers, little signposts on the road. And it makes you think You know, am I missing the signposts, God, of what you're trying to show me, what direction you want me to go in my life? Because I think God gives us signposts all the time. But are we recognizing them? That's really something. That's a skill that only happens not because we develop it as much as having a deeper relationship with the Lord Himself. Isn't that what does it? Because the last time I brought a message, we were talking about having ears to hear. His sheep hear His voice, right? It's important to be able to hear. It's important. It's important. The big thing is not some kind of a program that we get into, but what it is sensing of His presence. Sensing through what we read in the Word of God and through Him speaking to us that, that was you, God. Mm-hmm. Right? That's you. And he speaks to us in so many different ways. I've already, the last message I talked about, all those different ways that God speaks to His people. But,
I guess I want to get us I was talking about crossroads. This is what the definition, the figurative definition of coming to a crossroads in your life is. It's to be at a stage in one's life or in the development of a country when it's necessary to choose a course of action that will affect one's future in significant or irrevocable ways. Did you get that?
Can you read that again?
Yeah. Being at a crossroads is a stage in a person's life or in the development of a country when it is necessary to choose a course of action that will affect one's future in significant and irrevocable ways. You know what's sad? A lot of times we don't know when we've come to a crossroads in our life. It just happens. I'm going to prove to you by scripture about this too. But you know, people that are looking and watching and listening to God, the signposts are there, and it doesn't catch us so much by surprise as it used to before. Yeah? Have you found that out? Have you noticed that you're a little bit ahead of the curve now on lots of things? You can see something coming that before would have had to smack you in the face before you would have realized it was there. You know, like the baseball out of the woods. You know?
Yeah.
You're walking along, and somebody has thrown a baseball in your direction, and you go, bonk, and you turn right into it, and you go, oh, I wish I would have known that was coming. Don't you and I wish that we could see everything that's coming? But we don't. But there are signposts that are out there. There are signposts for you as an individual in your life, where God is speaking and God's wanting you to be prepared and ready for something, and you and I can miss it if we're not really being careful. Walking with God is a whole bunch of fun. It's also very serious. And when I say walking with God is a bunch of fun, I'm mostly thinking of the people I'm looking at right now. You guys are a lot of fun. Some of you really crack me up.
Maybe us.
Yeah. You know, but there is a sober quality, and we have to be able to handle both of those things, don't you think? We have to have fun, but we also have to know when to be serious about things. Right?
Yeah.
And the decisions that we make in life are serious. All the decisions. Is that right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The decisions about who's running our country is also very important, and that should be looked at in a very sober, biblical way. Not according to parties, political parties, but according to the principles of the Word of God. And that's how we make our decisions, or should make our decisions, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So I would like you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. We're going to start in verse 13. Talking about roads and roads diverging. Here's two different roads. We'll be walking. Every time we make decisions and have our choices about, well, I think I'll go to that party tonight. Well, might not be a good idea. Maybe I shouldn't go to that party tonight because I know who's going to be there and I know what's going to be happening and I'll probably get drawn into something I don't want. I don't want to have any part of. And you make decisions. And then and thoughts come, and you go, well, yeah, but I think I really like that. And you work your way, and you make your decisions, right? Well, here's what it says in Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. When we go down a road, when we go down a particular pathway, there are actually, the Bible, Jesus talks about it as though there's a gate. You're opening a door to go down pathways. You get this? He says, enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. When it says wide and broad, what's that mean to you?
Little resistance.
There's not much resistance. It's an easier way to go.
You can take a lot of luggage with you through a wide gate.
Yeah, you can take a lot of baggage with you, right? But isn't this true about life? When and the Word of God tries to help us and says, look, the easy way is not always the best way, is it? That broad, all my friends are going in that direction. It's pretty wide, right? It's a big, wide highway. All kinds of people are going to take that road. Did you want to say something, Jeff?
Yeah, it reminded me of a turnstile.
About what?
A turnstile. You can go through it, but you can't come back.
Yeah, you can't go back that.
Right. And that's an analogy that we have to look at. If we go through the wrong gate, we can't come
sometimes
back.
Sometimes we can't get back.
No.
So that, thank you. So here we are, and Jesus is saying, be careful what doors you open in your life. The ones that seem to be real easy, the ones that lots of people are going to go through, isn't the road you really want to take. Because why? It leads to what?
Destruction.
Ruin. Right? There's so many marriages because of particular choices that end up ruined. Ruined. Right? Because of choices. Because certain doors were open that should have stayed shut. Right? You can apply this to anything. And then it goes on in Matthew 7 and says, and there are many that go that way. Because straight is the gate, and it means that word straight means narrow or difficult. There's obstacles that get in the way. Our imaginations, our desires and lusts are there to stop us from taking that narrow way. The way that actually leads to real life. And if there's anything that people in this world need, are people that are walking the narrow way. They need examples. They need people that are walking in the light to help them get out of the darkness. Isn't that right? You and I are here not, and this goes to the point that John mentioned about the music. We're not here for ourselves, are we? It's not about us, it's about him. And it's about ministering to a dark world. Right?
Yeah.
To be there for people, right? This is what, this is how we should be as Christians. Amen?
Yes.
So, straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leads to life, and there's few that find it. Now I'm going to posit this to you, that people can open the door to Christ, but then not really go much further down that road. They're saved, but they're not. They don't. And we might be in that position from time to time, or where we're not really experiencing the life of Christ the way we could. Right? There's more for us to experience in God where just singing the song, words to the songs, and being encouraged by what those words say, we're jumping up in the air and we're, whoa, man, praise the living God. You know, and not be afraid to act that way. Not think there's something wrong with us. That we're not kooky. We're not Jesus freaks.
Yeah, we are.
But I think we are. Isn't that right?
It's all about for Jesus.
We're called to be a peculiar people.
We're called to be peculiar.
And we certainly are.
Different, not conforming to the ways of this world.
That's right, because the way of the world is to go down that broad road. And we're called to not walk that road. When we come to a fork in the road, we want to make sure that we're taking the right one. Right? And sometimes that's kind of hard to identify in life.
Yeah.
Which road is the right one to go down?
Yeah.
So, I want you now to turn to Proverbs chapter 8. We're going to read the first 5 verses. I'm not sure which version I have. We're going to be in that version there, I guess, right? Yeah. The first 5 verses say this. Does not wisdom call and understanding lift up her voice? On the top of the heights beside the way. What's the next? How's it say it there? Oh, at the crossroads. Right? Mine says where the paths meet.
Isn't that interesting?
It's where the paths meet, where wisdom takes her stand. You know, when we really need wisdom is when we're at a crossroads and we have to make a decision which way we need to go.
Yeah.
When we're walking down a road and there's nothing ahead of us except that same road, and we're in that direction, there's not a lot to think about. We're just walking through life. But there are all kinds of crossroads that happen in life. Right? And it's then where we better really have God's wisdom. Not our own. Where we're relying on the Spirit of God to speak to us and for us to be listening so that we do what He wants us to do. Amen? Isn't that right? So it says there, where the paths meet, wisdom takes her stand. She's there to tell us, talk to us. beside the gates. There's that gates again. Where there, in the illustrations that the Lord uses, when you're walking down pathways and crossroads and whatever, he usually has some reference to gate. There's something that we open. You see? We're opening the door to something in our life. And it's important for us not to just casually be opening up any door we want. Right? You understand that, what I'm saying here?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I guess that this part of it is really saying, you know, be careful. Be careful in life. The little decisions that you make, because they can have some big consequences. Think about, let's say, you lived back in the 1930s in Germany, and you were a Jew. And little signposts were coming up, happening in Germany with the burning of books and Kristallnacht when the brown shirts threw everything through glass windows. It was the night of broken glass, is what it was called. Jewish shops, they destroyed the fronts of Jewish shops. Now, there were a number of Jewish people in Germany, you know, like Albert Einstein, who decided he wasn't going to stay there. He was leaving. He made a choice. He came to a fork in the road and said, I think it's time for me to leave my country, because this isn't my country anymore. And so he made that decision. But there were millions of other people that did not make that decision. I'll bet you that for many of them, I bet you they wished over the next numbers of years that they had made a different choice. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
Yes. Yes.
What do you think? They went down the wrong road. So, beside the gates, at the entrance of the city, at the entrance of the doors, wisdom cries out, to you, O men, I call, and my voice is directed to the sons of men. You know, wisdom, Christ, is the power of God and the wisdom of God. You guys know that, you know, that's the scripture. Christ, Jesus is the power of God, and he's the wisdom of God. And here's wisdom speaking to us. And because we have the Spirit of God within us, there should be something that is resonating if we're having our ears listening. Right? Wisdom speaks to us. Especially, as it says here in this scripture, when we get to a crossroads, when we get to a fork in the road and we have to make a decision, Jesus is going to be there to give us the wisdom to make the right decision. Right? But we have to be listening.
Yeah.
Don't we?
Yes.
Yeah, we have to be listening. So, he says this to the sons of men. Here's one of the things wisdom says. Oh, you naive and inexperienced people. You who are easily misled. How does that happen? How can we, the children of God, be misled?
You allow it then?
Yep.
We allow it. We're not really paying attention.
No. We're not knowing our
word. We don't have knowledge that we should have about things.
We don't search out a matter.
We're not searching out a matter. We're preoccupied. Mm-hmm. Right? We're preoccupied with lots of different things. Do you think as we get up in every morning, and I'm sure that one of your prayers when you wake up is, Lord, lead me through the morning, show me what you want me to learn today. And over the course of all the many days through the years, he shows us many different things, doesn't he? He shows us things about ourselves that need to be changed. He shows us how we need to react to that student. I got a bunch of stories that are in the back of my head right now. It doesn't matter what the area is in your life, in my life. He will be there to give me and you wisdom for anything that's going on in our lives, anything that we need to attend to. Now, we're in the season of a national election. Do you think that if we pray fervently, and like Reggie and Chris have been led to do with getting a hold of the other churches, that we will have the wisdom of God to see things as they really are? Because you know another thing that comes in? False information. Twisted things get brought in because the enemy, he's pretty sly. He knows how to keep people off balance, not being able to understand, well, what's true and what isn't? Where's the truth in this? Because you got these statistics here and those statistics there. You know, so I don't want to get too much into all of that. But you understand what we're saying. People that are naive, you read something on the internet, or you see, you watch something on TV, and oh, I guess it's true because the news people are telling me that. But no, you can't do that. I can't do that. You can't do that. We have to search out a matter. Don't we?
Yes.
But I don't want to bother. I'm going to be lazy. I'm just going to accept whatever they tell me because they're supposed to tell me the truth. And look at the evidence and see, you know, how you think about that. If you think that, you know, are we being naive, inexperienced, easily misled? We need people like that. It says, understand prudence, which is wisdom, which is circumspection, looking at the signposts and understanding what's really going on. Not being afraid to look into things that other people say, oh, you're looking at that. Don't let people, look into things and find out if this is truth or not truth, right? And I'm not just talking about politics here. I'm talking about anything. All right? And then, he says, understand prudence and seek astute common sense. Boy, that's missing in the world today, I'll tell you that. And then he says, and also to you that are closed-minded. Oh, there are people, and this can happen to older people. We think we've got all the answers. I don't need to hear what you have to say because I know what I know. And believe me, I've been there, and I'm there in many different aspects. And there's some things where it is absolutely true, I know what I know. But there are some things that I think I know that I don't know. I only have a little piece of it, of the information, and that's why I need everybody else. That's why we need what everybody else has to say, and for us to be able to look at. And that's not only for politics, that is for anything about who you are as a person. Don't you just love it when somebody comes up and says, hey, I really need to talk to you about a problem that I have with you? No. That is the verboten thing, First of all, nobody really has, or not nobody, but most people don't have the chutzpah to go up and tell somebody, you know, I really need to talk to you about such and such. Because we don't want to ruffle anybody's feathers, do we? I'm one of those people. I don't want to ruffle anybody up. I'm always looking to try to find the good thing. At least that's how I've always thought of myself. But Now I'm starting to wonder. So he says, there's so many roads I could go down here, I'm not going to go down those roads. All right, so it says, also to you that are closed-minded and self-confident fools, understand wisdom. Seek the insight and self-discipline that leads to godly living. Yeah. Okay. So, Jeremiah. I'll let that stew in your heads. You know, go back and look at that afterwards. Romans 8. Proverbs 8. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16 says this. Thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look. Is that how it says it in houses? Stand by the roadways. Okay, and look. Stand by the roads. How many are there? There's more than one. Oh, we got a choice which way to go. Oh, there's a choice. There's daily choices. And then there's going to be some choices where what we decide is going to make a big impact on our life, on the life of our kids, on the life of the nation. Do you understand this? We live in a democratic republic. We get a chance to influence the direction the nation can go in. I was really, I mentioned last night when we watched the movie that Reggie had, that shown for, and all the people that told him about that movie. There were two election cycles ago, 25 million evangelicals did not vote in the election. And the election was decided on a difference of 5 million votes. The evangelicals, 25 million, they could have really influenced what direction the country could have gone in. Right? I hope that doesn't happen this time. I hope you vote according to biblical principles and not according to party, by biblical principles. And I'll just put this in there. None of these secular candidates that are running for president or any or state offices, or nobody's perfect. You're going to compromise somewhere, aren't you?
Yeah.
You know? So just think about that.
But there is different things that are more important than others in God's eyes.
So we got some points there.
In God's eyes, there are things that are different.
And I think
there's a higher value in God's eyes.
Yes.
Like life is a value.
Yeah. The sanctity of life. And those are things that you have to weigh out, don't you? I like what Ben Carson said last night too, when he said, when you're deciding and you have two flawed candidates, how do you know? Well, I don't want to vote for either one of them. They're both flawed. And he says, well, you know, you can have a paper cut, okay, which doesn't feel good. Nobody likes to get a paper cut. And you could also have the choice of having your legs smashed. Two things that you don't really want either one. But there isn't one person that would choose the paper cut over the smashed legs.
Oh yes, there is.
Correct, right? Every single person in here, if you had a choice between having a paper cut or having your legs smashed up, you're going to choose the paper cut. There's not one single person here that isn't. And this gets to the point of what Reggie's saying, is the fact there are things that weigh more, that have more weight in our decision-making process than other things. Isn't that right? You know? And like Reggie said, I think most of us, maybe probably all of us, believe that the sanctity of life is one of those big issues, right? Okay, enough of that. So, Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. Thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look. Why is he saying that? Consider, right? Consider the paths that you're going to have to take. And ask for the ancient paths. Wow. Ask for the ancient paths. Now, what do you think that's talking about?
Experience.
What has happened in the past?
What's happened in the past? Keep going. Experience is a good teacher, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right? That's what you're talking about. Right?
Yeah.
Experience is a good teacher. So you can look back and you can learn from not only your past experience, but other people's past experience. You know what? I learned not to do certain things at my parents' house, not because I did them and got a spanking, but because my brother did them. And I saw what happened to him, and I said, I don't want to go down that road. Right? You can learn from other people's experience. And when you look at history, you can learn from what's happened in other countries and so on and so forth. Can't you?
Sure.
We should.
Well, and sometimes, Malcolm, when you come to those gates, take a look at the gatekeeper. Who's standing there?
Yeah, who's the one standing there?
Yeah, who? What does that gatekeeper look like? Is that what you want to look like? Is that where you want to go?
That's right. Who are the gatekeepers?
Yeah.
Right.
Perspective.
Yeah, perspective. Ancient paths. And I wanted to... No, go ahead.
And I think it really points to the word, too. I mean, what more ancient path is there than the word that would... at the beginning of the world.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, you just look at God's word. And
God's word.
Not the doctrine of men.
Not the doctrine of men. Ancient paths. He's talking about the Ancient of Days. He's talking about God, the originator. And he has a plan for your life. He has a path for you to follow, and if we follow that, the more closely we follow his path for us, the more we're going to get out of life. We'll have, like Jesus says, we'll have life and that more abundant. You get it? We think we know better than God what we want and what we need. Well, that is not really the case, is it? There's not one single person in here. Let me see all your faces here. I'm going to look at every single face. There is not one single person that I have locked eyes with here.
You are funny.
What? I am funny. We are in such a position with the Lord that he's going to give us exactly what we need. Right? Exactly what we need. All right. I better get moving along here. I'm still on the front page. I'm sorry. So, ask for the ancient paths. Where the good way is, and then walk in it. And you will find rest for your souls. We'll have life and we'll have more money. There's a very sad ending to this verse.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mine says, but they say, we will not walk in it. Now, we can look at this in an individual basis, but I want to make a transition here because we don't walk, we're not an island unto ourselves, are we?
Mm-hmm.
Are we?
No.
We are part of a church community. We're part of a community, state, nation, mm-hmm. right? We're all part of humanity. So there's something beyond just us as individuals. And God looks at us as individuals. But he also sees us as part of the group. All right, I'm going to prove that to you. All right, so I have here, a nation is affected by the condition of its people. Yeah? Especially by the condition of the church that's in that nation, right? Remember the quotation of Alex de Tocqueville? America is great because America is
good.
Our greatness is because we were connected with the righteousness of God.
Right?
Right?
Yes.
And de Tocqueville goes on to say in that famous quote, if America ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. Right? Well, wait a minute. We're part of the church. We've been covered in the blood. We're seeking out righteousness. Nothing bad's going to happen to America because we're here. Oh, no, see, it doesn't work that way. Does it? You know, nations that are described as righteous nations, not everybody in them is righteous. And in places where a nation is a goat nation, not everybody in that particular nation are wicked either. You understand this? There's these different levels that the Lord looks at us in. Now, I'll do this first. Proverbs 14:34 says this: righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. If our nation is going to be great, what do we have to be?
Good,
righteous. It has to start with us, doesn't it? Isaiah 26:2 says this: open the gates that the righteous nation which keeps the truth may enter in. It's talking about a nation, a righteous nation. Isn't that right? So, if a good number of people in a nation start falling off the wagon, what's going to happen to that nation?
Decline.
It's going to decline, isn't it? But we're here. What happened to the Jews when they turn their back on God, right around the time of, let's say, Daniel. Oh, they went into exile. But Daniel, being a righteous guy, he didn't go into exile.
Oh, yeah.
Missed that. I missed that. Oh, yeah. Daniel, who was righteous, who was a righteous man, he had to suffer the consequences of national sin. Right? That's sad. But true. Isn't that right? I hope that we understand the importance of us. God's going to take care of us through any junk that we might have to go through as a nation. Right? I mean, he protected Daniel through all of that. But Daniel went into captivity. So did Ezekiel. They went into captivity. They had to suffer for the national sin. Right? But God's going to use them. He's going to turn things to good. So we have to understand all of this is something we got to make sure that we understand. You know, God looks at us as individuals, but He also looks at us in a corporate sense too. How is this church? What's this church doing as a church? Yeah. All right, listen to this from Isaiah chapter 3. It's verses 10 to 13. It says this: "Tell the godly that all will be well with them." Oh, we love that, right? Tell the godly all will be well with them. They will enjoy the rich reward that they have earned. But the wicked are doomed, for they're going to get exactly what they deserve. Childish leaders oppress my people. Women rule over them. Oh, my people, your leaders mislead you. They send you down the wrong road. The Lord takes his place in court and presents his case against his people. Bad things happen to good people. Mm-hmm. Right? These are things that could possibly be down the road. We have to understand these particular principles so that we're not blown out of the water. So that we can handle whatever is going to happen in these next weeks, months, years that are coming up in front of us, that we have the mind of Christ no matter what happens. Right? He's going to take care of us. But he has to deal with the nations. He's going to do that. Alright. Here's an example of something that Jesus said to the Jews. Matthew 21, verses 42 and 43 says this. Jesus asked them, "Have you ever read the scriptures? The very stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to another people who will produce the fruit of it." He's talking to the Jews who rejected him as their Messiah. Yeah?
Yeah.
And so the Lord said, "You're getting put aside because you've rejected who I am." Right? And so the whole Gentile church and the remnants from the Jews ended up being the first church, right? You understand that? So the Jews were at a crossroads and they didn't even know it. They had a choice to make. Do they accept Jesus as the Messiah or not? They didn't realize what was going to happen because of them rejecting Jesus, but it happened, didn't it? And they got put aside. And Jesus told them ahead of time. There was a nice signpost for them, but they didn't take it. Now, of course, us, we catch all the signposts. We know what's happening ahead of time.
Yeah.
And so, I'm saying that sarcastic. So, I wrote down here that they didn't recognize the day of their visitation. Is God visiting you or me right now about a particular area of our life that He really wants? He wants to visit us and say, "It's time to let that go." Hmm.
Yeah.
Do you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
And we have to be able to open that door to him and walk down that right pathway. He is saying something to us on an individual basis where he wants us to go down a particular road that we haven't gone down before, that we haven't given up something that we need to give up. And that's not going to happen by our will. It's going to happen because we see, and I think Joe expressed it, we want to do things because he first did. We love him because he first loved us. Isn't that right? This can't be a works thing, but we have to work. We have to turn ourselves from certain things, don't we? We're being visited. We're being visited by God right now because of where we are in history and what our purpose is at the end of this age. And to be ready for all of the different things that are happening in this world, we need a visitation where we are going to actually embrace the Lord more so that he can use us in a greater way ahead. Just like that song was saying. He's looking for people that want to produce fruit. How many of you want to be fruitful in the kingdom of God? I think all of you feel that way. You want to be fruitful. Maybe you don't know how, how can God use me? God uses all of us in many, many different ways, and it's already been expressed. All right. Kathy wrote something in the bulletin. The little quote. And I'm going to use it right here. There are three types of people. You ready? If you're reading it, you'll know. Those who make things happen. Those who watch things happen. And those who say, "What happened?" Really, huh? Those who make things happen, those who watch things happen, and those who go or who say, "What happened?" Kathy and I were saying, "What happened?" On Friday. Then Monday, we were getting ready for the winter at our place there, and then Friday, everything had changed. And we said to each other, "What happened? What just happened to us?" Caught us by surprise, right? Didn't even know that we were moving down a particular pathway until, oh my gosh, right? Well, God wants to visit us in a certain way for us to embrace him in a much deeper way than we have already. Amen?
Yes.
That's going to be our choice, though. Because when you come to a split in the road, you're going to make a choice. Wisdom will be there to help guide us down the right way, but we need to be listening. Don't we?
Yes.
There's something. I know you're just thinking, "Oh, this is some preachy way of trying to get something across." I'm telling you from the depth of my heart, there is something very significant that God is ready to do. He's told me this very plainly, not only for myself, but for this church and all the individuals in this church. There is something very, very special that he desires to do right now in everybody's heart, and it's going to require us embracing that.
Yes.
It might be to get to die to something that we just can't get. We just hold on to some desire, some imagination, some wish that we want, and we need to die to it so it can be resurrected in his way, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It could be that. It could be something else. But there's something, I think, for every single person. I felt this when I woke up this morning, that this was for everybody. So this is why a few weeks ago I used the scripture 1 Peter 1:13. It says, "Gird the loins of your mind for action."
Yeah.
See, we want to be that first group, right? Mm-hmm. We want to be the kind that make things happen. Not that we're doing it, but that we're so available to God, He can use us at the drop of a hat, right? Now, this is not to scare anybody. I just want to throw the last scripture out at you. Now, this scares me a little bit. So maybe they'll just be a little tweak, just a little, ooh, why did he have to end with that one? But you're going to get it. Okay. This is Romans 11, verses 21 and 22. I will explain something about this in a minute, but it says this: "For if God did not spare the natural branches," who's he talking about? The Jews, right? If he set the Jews aside because they would not cooperate and open their hearts to the concept of Jesus as Messiah. Alright? "For if God did not spare the natural branches, take heed lest he don't spare you." Why? Still going. You accepted Christ as your Savior. You know that He died for your sin. You're going to heaven. This is not what He's talking about. Talking about using you and me. Talking about you and I experiencing the kingdom of God in our hearts and minds right now. It's talking about the fact that we can experience eternal life right now because we're in the more we're in His presence and allowing Him to access us and touch us, we are experiencing eternal life because He is eternal life. Do you get this? It's experiencing the kingdom now because He's the King and we're letting Him be King. You and I can be Christians and not allow God to be the King in your life, in my life. Dude, I'm talking to the right group of people, right? You understand, it isn't just an automatic thing. Oh, I'm just in the kingdom of God because I love Jesus. You're in the kingdom of God. You're experiencing the kingdom of God when you and I are giving ourselves, our life, over to Christ on a daily basis. The scripture says we're to die daily. This is a message for mature Christians, not for baby Christians. Apparently, we're all pretty mature because he's having us hear this. I hope that you can all hear this. But that's what it says. If God didn't spare the natural branches, take heed lest he also not spare you. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell, severity. But toward you, goodness. Now, look at what it says now. It, Steve talked about the if-then thing, didn't he, last week? Yeah. You remember that?
Yeah.
If. There's an if, and then certain things will happen. Well, you know what? We're gonna receive His goodness and all kinds of great, wonderful things, but that's only if we continue in His goodness. If we continue to open our hearts to Him and go down the path He wants us to take. Right? Isn't that right? And then look what it says after that. Let's see how it says it here. Otherwise, what? Come on, you don't want to hear this, but you're going to hear this.
You'll be cut off.
Or else you're going to be cut off. Cut off from what? Being with Jesus in heaven? No.
No.
No, not experiencing the kingdom of God right now. Because the kingdom of God is in us. Right? The kingdom of God doesn't come with observation because the kingdom of God is within. But we're not experiencing that if we're not connected with Jesus. Do you understand that? If you want more of Jesus, this is part of what we got to understand, right?
So I hope you hear this in the balance I'm trying to say it here. You're not losing your salvation. But you and I will miss out. We're going to miss out on some very grand things if we choose to take the wrong road all the time. You understand?
Yeah.
So, Bob.
And the sad part, I think, is that if we don't pay attention to the road signs, many are going to be deceived.
Yeah, there's a lot of deception.
Even those in the church.
Yeah, even those in the church.
Yes.
Yes.
Amen. Go ahead.
Milken, I mean, we hold words to life, to truth.
Yes.
If we don't speak, and that we won't be held accountable.
Yeah, there's an accountability we're all going to have. Have to give an account. Do you want to say something?
You're going to get the microphone. So.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's just end with word prayer here.
Lord, we know that there's crossroads.
A road that you want us to go down, Lord, we want to go down that road. We want the ancient path. We want that path that you've chosen for us. And Lord, we know that in that path is righteousness and truth and love and power. Lord, and we choose to go in that direction. Just help us day by day to continue to make that choice that we take the narrow road. The ancient path, Lord, that leads to life. Impress that into our minds and our hearts here this morning. I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would just sear that right into our being, on our soul and spirit, that this message would not just fall to the side. But Lord, that we would embrace it. We hold on to it now. We ask for you to anoint and bless this to our person. In Jesus' name we pray.